For many parents, it is a pretty tough decision. So they may do some research. They may look into the meanings by buying a book or looking at lists online. Many parents consider honoring a member of their family, an ancestor, with their decision. Other parents narrow down their choices by saying them out loud and just seeing which ones have the nicest ring to them, which ones just flow off the tongue most easily. There are many parents who even factor in the potential cruelty of other children and how their choice could possibly be twisted into a mean nickname. And what I'm talking about, of course, is choosing a name for a baby. It becomes a pretty complicated and difficult decision for a lot of parents because there are a lot of different factors to work into the decision. What is the meaning of the name? What is the history of our family? Which name has the nicest sound to it? And of course, which names could possibly be twisted into a nasty kind of alteration? In many parts of the world, people do not choose the name for their children with this type of process. In many Eastern countries, for example, there are parents who will wait several years after the birth of their child before finally assigning a name to the kid. And they do that so they'll have a chance to observe the appearance, the personality of the child, and be able to give a name that fits that individual person. So, for example, if you wait a few years and you see that this child of yours is really bright and happy and bubbly, maybe you could name him Sunny or something like that. I knew a Chinese gentleman once who, as a child, developed very slowly. He didn't walk until he was 2.5. He didn't start speaking until he was 4. So his parents named him Arlong, which roughly translates little dummy. He grew up to earn 3 masters and 2 doctorates, so that's not exactly a foolproof system either. In the Bible, choosing a name for a child was not always such a complicated or drawn-out process. There were some parents in the Bible who chose names for their children to honor an ancestor of their family. There were other times when parents waited until after the birth of a child, looked at the appearance or the personality of the kid and gave them a name based on that. There were other times in Scripture, however, when the parents of a child were given absolutely no choice whatsoever in what the name of their child would be. And instead, God simply dictated to them what they were supposed to name their child. When God did that, it was because the child who was born was going to play a special part in God's plan. And he wanted the name of the child to reflect the role that the child would play in God's plans. One example of biblical parents who were simply given no choice whatsoever in the name of their child, the Virgin Mary and her fiancé, Joseph. When the angel Gabriel visited Mary and later on Joseph, Gabriel informed them that they would not be choosing the name of their little son. God had already decided. His name is Jesus. It was a fairly common name in Israel at that time, as common as Bill or Dave in our culture today. There were many Israelite parents who named their little boys Jesus as a reminder. See, that name Jesus, a derivation of the Old Testament name Joshua, means Savior. So a lot of parents chose that name for their little boy as a reminder that the Lord had promised salvation. The Lord had promised that someday in the future, a Savior would be coming for the people of Israel and for the whole world. But of all the little boys in Israel named Jesus, this particular Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, was going to be more than just a reminder that God's salvation was someday going to come for Israel and for the world. No, this little boy, this little Jesus, he actually was that Savior. He was God's salvation who had finally arrived in the flesh. But now, how could that be? How could it be that this little boy named Jesus was more than just a reminder? This little boy would actually be so much and achieve so much for the people of Israel and for the whole world. Well, when the angel Gabriel visited Mary and Joseph, the angel explained how this was possible. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Gabriel is explaining why the name Jesus is just right for this little boy. It is because he is more than just a little boy. He is also the Son of God. See, this little boy, this Jesus, is not going to have a human father, at least not in the biological sense. Joseph will only be his stepfather. This little boy is going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit inside the womb of his mother Mary. So he will be a human child with a human mother, but at the same time, he will also be totally and completely God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And because he is the Son of God, he will also be what Gabriel calls the Holy One. Because he is conceived by the Holy Spirit, he is going to be the only baby ever born free from the sin of human parents. He is going to be the only child born free from original sin. And that means that he will grow up and spend his entire life as the Holy One, as the Son of God, the Holy One. He will pass through the normally turbulent years of adolescence without ever disrespecting or dishonoring his father or his mother even one time. As the Son of God, the Holy One, he will pass through the years of young adulthood without ever once looking lustfully at a woman. As the Son of God, the Holy One, he will work as a carpenter without once making a shady deal or cutting corners in his work. As the Holy One, the Son of God, he will preach and teach about the kingdom of heaven without a single false or misleading or unclear word. He will show absolutely immaculate love for everyone he comes into contact with, for all of his neighbors, and he will show perfect honor and obedience for his heavenly Father. He is the Son of God. He is the Holy One who will live his entire existence from conception to the end of his time in this world in absolute holiness and righteousness. And that means, for you and me, he lives up perfectly to his name, Jesus, the Savior. Because you and I, of course, are not holy ones. We are far from holy. We are born with the sin of our father and mother already sticking on us from the moment of our conception. And then when we are born into the world, that sin plays itself out throughout our lives with lust and lackluster love for other people, with disobedience and dishonor for our Heavenly Father. We need a Jesus. We need a Holy One who lives up to that name of Savior. And in this Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, that is exactly what we have. In him, we have a Savior because of who he is, the Son of God. And in him, we have a Savior because of what he is, the Holy One. Everything Jesus did, his entire holy life, was lived for you and for me. And it's really important for us to remember this about Jesus' saving work. The saving work of Jesus is a lot more than the 3 hours he spent hanging on the cross on Good Friday. It was that. It was definitely that. But it was every single thing that he did perfectly from his conception all the way through his time in this world, all of it done for us to be our Savior. You see, through faith in Jesus, when our Heavenly Father looks at us, He no longer sees a single shred of our sin, but only the holiness of His Son, Jesus, our Savior. And because He is the Son of God, He is the Holy One who makes us holy. Jesus the Savior, our Savior. Amen.